Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Nina Kowser Show. Oh gosh, what an emotional day. It was a football game, but it felt like a nothing game. It felt like there wasn't much football being played because it felt like a lot of time wasting. And, you know, I think people were getting really, really frustrated with a lot of things that weren't football related. It finished 1-1 at Anfield. Bobby's and Milner's and Cater's and Oxlade-Chamberlain's farewell game. And, yeah, a bit frustrating. I think that's that for the season. Europa League football, pretty much. But anyway, not going to be negative. And joining me on this podcast, I have two incredible guests. So you know what? Let me introduce them to you. First up, I am delighted to be joined by Lisa Marie. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, Nina. It's always a pleasure to be on, even if the game hasn't been the most pleasurable to watch. So happy to join you today.
Well, this is true. See, I'm hanging up the podcasting mic, so I'm hell bent on spending it with good company, and I think I've done that, and certainly with your co-guest and a guy that needs no introduction on Anfield Index, and you know, just so respected throughout the whole football community with the long threads that he does about finance and stuff. It's more chat for everyone. The honour. Oh.
Hello, hi Nina, hi Lisa Marie.
It's great having you on, Mo. I know ideally you wouldn't like to be here, but then something tells me you probably wouldn't want to be at Anfield today as well. Well, maybe you did, because obviously it was a significant day, but I'm glad to have you here.
No, glad to be on. And maybe it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't get to Anfield today, but, you know, it's one of them things. But, you know, we've got to be positive. You know, this is your penultimate Nina Kowser show, so we've got to keep it with positive vibes only today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? We've got to keep it positive because I did not enjoy that game of football. But you know what? Before we go anywhere, let me go to our first caller because we've got about three lined up today. So somebody that hasn't called up in a while. And when I got the message on Discord, I'm smiling right now. You can hear my smile. I branded him as Steve Pizza. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Nina. How are you?
I am so good. All the better for hearing your voice, my friend.
Well, I had to call in on the basis that this is your last show covering a match at Anfield. And just to keep on the positive vibes, I just want to say, certainly on behalf of myself, and I think I speak for a lot of people on Anfield Index, hundreds and hundreds of subscribers, thousands of subscribers who have listened over the years to your shows. What, 340 first appearance, is it, or 340?
It's been ages. It's been
you've brought such humor and such insight and such passion and such kindness to your show with, you know, handling callers, giving them crazy names like myself. And I just want to say thank you. And I think it's so fitting that Bobby scored that goal, and I think he scored it for you.
Oh, you know, I'll take that all day. But no, you know, it's... You do this because of the people that you meet along the way and stuff. And Anfield Index is just a community. And I think, you know, I've made so many friends. You know, we've got Lisa all the way in America. We've got Mo Chatra. You know, it's so diverse. There's so many different voices and opinions. And I'm not anywhere on Anfield Index, by the way. I'm just working back of house. And it gives me more time to be a nuisance on Discord. So you'll be hearing a lot more from me. So don't think, oh, that's where she disappeared. I'm actually going to be more, I'll be obviously just the back of house. I'm still passionate, still involved with Anfield Index. I always will be Team Anfield Index. Just a different role. And having more time on social media as well. So Gags can't get rid of me that quickly. But thank you so much, Steve. And through this, I made great friends like you, and it's been incredible.
No, that's fantastic, and I agree with all that you said. It's great, and we'll look forward to hearing you on Discord. I'll let you get on with the rest of the show. All the best.
Oh, thank you so much. So, guys, that was Steve Pizza massaging my ego. I don't need this. Watch me now act like a total diva on this podcast. No, I will do no such thing. Anyway, guys, let's carry on talking about this game. So Lisa, I'm going to come to you. Team lineup, Klopp didn't have much wiggle room. Klopp was on, you know, maybe it was a good thing Klopp was up in the stands, because I think he would have beat the shit out of this referee. But anyway, that's another story for another day, because I'm not going to go there. But team lineup, I pretty much, it was probably what we expected.
Agree. If you had asked me to write down the lineup before it was announced, I'm pretty sure I would have got 11 out of 11 correct here. So, yeah, you're right. There wasn't a whole lot of choice for Klopp to do anything differently. But so it was pretty much what was expected. And to be fair, you know, it's mostly been working, you know, with this group for the last few games. So, yeah, no real surprises.
No, and Mo, what about you? With regards to team lineup,
yeah, like Lisa Marie said, you know, very predictable.
Together, you know, that's actually a really good question. Let's you know, like the fact that we kind of know what he's going to go with, and what it's kind of sad, isn't it? And it's kind of concerning.
You know, it's. One of these things where stability is good on the one hand, but then at the same time, you know, certainly for opposition, it's certainly easier to kind of deploy a game plan if they pretty much know what the opposition team will be. But, you know, at this stage of the season, though, and this is not unique to this season, if you go back the last several seasons, this is when we're going into the closing stretch, April, May time, Klopp generally rotates very, very little. So, you know, he likes to stick to a core group of 11, 12, 13 players to see out the remainder of the season. Unless, obviously, there's, you know, big domestic, you know, competitions like the Champions League to be participating in. And then there'll be a little bit more by way of rotation. But otherwise, he generally tries not to tinker too much with the match day starting 11s. But yeah, that's just Klopp.
That is just Klopp. And you're right, actually, it's good to make that observation that, you know, this is his safe bet and this is what he tends to go with. Right, what I'll do is, because I think we've got three callers lined up, so I'll go to the next one. It's JC Tyrone. John, welcome to the Nina Kauser Show again.
Hey, Nina. Just calling in. I wanted to say goodbye to two Liverpool legends, Bobby and yourself. It's been great. I just, when you sent out the message this morning on Discord saying you're wrapping up this season, it was sad, but you know, I've been on the show a few times before, and it's always a great listening. And I'm gonna miss the banter with you next season. And I just wanted to call you. Bobby scoring there was a really nice touch. I've been a huge, huge fan of Bobby since right from the get go, and you know, he's impossible not to love that smile and his little impish way of going on. And I'm just so happy for him and his family, and I want to wish Bobby all the best in whatever he does, and thank him and yourself for the great memories.
Thank you.
No problem, Nina. I just want to say that over in the States here, we have a saying, it's called polishing a turd. And this winning streak we have was polishing a turd of this season, but I'm kind of glad now that it's they kind of roped me back in with this top four. It was getting, I even if we did win, I don't think United would have slipped up that badly, but you know, you never know with these things. But now the top four is out of the way, that we can really look at this season for what it was, and it's a really bad season, and the decision making is involved in this season, making it the bad, are still evident today. You know, Henderson getting 85 minutes and so on, and just the lack of creativity up front. I was in the Discord chat with the guys earlier during the game. You know, we're not clinical up front. I don't know, there's just not that cutting edge, or we seem to be very indecisive, or what, I'm not sure what it is. Mo has his moments, but you know, it's like, it's just not clicking, you know. And then Darwin in and out, Diaz injured, you know, and Jota injured. There's a lot of stuff, but I think, you know, go moving forward, I think we need to address the attack as much as the midfield. And but again, yeah, it's disappointing we're not getting top four, but you know, move forward and move on. And hopefully I'll be able to jump on next week, Nina, for your final show. If I'm not around, thanks for the memories and all the best, guys. Thank you.
No, thank you for making the show. You know, it's all about the contributors. It's all about the callers. It's all about the listeners. You guys made it. That's why it lasted so long. And, you know, we have an expression. We have a response to your, you can't polish a turd. Yeah, but you can roll it around in glitter. So there you go. That's exactly what Klopp did in the last seven games.
Yeah, there's a lot of glitter in that team.
And you know, with regards to the attack, obviously, thank you, you made some really good points there. I mean, with regards to the attack, it's a really, really good point, but I'm going to just give you a personal message on regards to that. And I remember when Mane and Firmino first got together as well, and it seemed very disjointed, and it was just waiting for things to click. I think patience is key, and I think obviously you touched on it as well, the injuries has been a big thing. I think once the midfield gets sorted, I think naturally we might see an evolution in the attack and them just playing better, because they'll just have a bit more service and a bit more people sort of willing themselves for the attack. So, you know, that's my hope for the attack, but it's a great point. But thank you so much, John. Thank you so much for your call.
No problem, Nina. Thanks.
Okay, right. Mo, I'm going to come to you. Can you please talk to me? Like this game, I want to get your feelings on it, because you leave with a certain kind of viewpoint. You leave with something. And of course, we will talk about Bobby's goal, and it had to be him that scored. And I think we're all delighted. Maybe that was the smiling point of this game. But the first half for me just felt like the referee just constantly just stopping play. And Threadings, that was like literally my only recognition of like the first half. It was so horrible.
Yeah, it was not the kind of game that you'd want to go and watch again, unless you had to collect pressing stats for it. And there probably wasn't a great deal of pressing stats to collect for it.
Easy work. Yeah.
it was definitely not one of the great ones. But look, this is the Aston Villa team. You know, this is Unai Emery. You know, he looks to frustrate. And especially when a team like Villa take the lead. They will take every little shortcut. I mean, just literally falling to the ground. Who was it? Bailey was clutching his back as if he'd been shot with an AK-47. It was embarrassing. But this is Aston Villa for you. You know, much like Newcastle United, that they will deploy gamesmanship and try and eke out, you know, seconds here, seconds there, especially when they're in the lead. So, you know, this was their game plan. It was something that was obvious going into it for anyone that pays attention to Villa and Unai Emery. And on top of that, you know, I thought that they deployed it really well and they came to frustrate and, you know, we really struggled to get anything going. You know, there was no real cohesiveness to our play. And I thought that they maintained their defensive shape extremely well, very, very, you know, strict in terms of maintaining that. So, you know, to their credit, they did really well. But at the same time, we certainly let ourselves down in that first half. You know, a number of plays that really weren't anywhere near the levels that they should be. You know, Curtis, who's been very good last few weeks, pale shadow of his recent self. You know, Henderson, obviously, was Henderson. So you can read into that what you will. And, you know, even, you know, in terms of the front line, I suppose Diaz was perhaps the most frustrating one. You know, a lot of industry and effort, but really didn't have any real end product there. So, yeah, just frustrating first half overall.
Yeah, I just felt like Diaz was running for the sake of running with the ball, you know, like trying to take on the extra man. It felt like he was almost willing himself to, like he could do it all. It was quite frustrating and he did look quite rusty. And I think you've made a good observation. At least I was watching that first half and I was like, I completely forgot like the likes of Curtis Jones were on the pitch. Even Mo Salah looked jaded and faded out. And every time he did give the ball, it wasn't, you know, I felt like because of the way, like Mo said, the way Aston Villa was set up, it was like we were kind of like playing it backwards and it just didn't feel like Liverpool were on the front foot for me.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
I agree 100%. I mean, you know, my notes say things like Mo needs to get more involved and how much time are they going to waste and you know, all the things. I thought it was overall, just to sum up the first half, is it was just frustrating on, you know, a number of levels. I mean, the way Aston Villa was playing was frustrating, though, you know, not necessarily unexpected, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating. And yeah, I don't know. Our players just couldn't seem to get into the groove. And I don't know if it was, I mean, I think it was maybe a couple things. One, the fact that just the stop start, you know, of the game, that makes it hard. I mean, you know, in their defense, it does make it hard to get the flow going when the whistle's being blown, you know, every time, you know, someone brushes past a Villa player. You know, and I also have to wonder how much Klopp not being on the sideline was affecting things. I mean, you know, you'd have to think it is. Now, someone said, and I don't know if it was before we started recording, that it was probably a good thing because he likely would have, you know, got himself banned for half a season, maybe, based on the refereeing. That may have been you who said it, maybe just in the chat. So, yeah, I mean, it was just overall the first half was extremely frustrating because it just felt like we couldn't get going and get anything moving for a number of reasons. You know, the players just didn't seem to be on it for whatever reason. And yeah, and I felt like the Anfield crowd started off very energized, and it felt like it just fell flat, you know, maybe about halfway through the first half. And I was just like, come on. I mean, it wasn't quiet per se. It wasn't like a library, but it just, it fell off. And I mean, to be fair, they didn't have a whole lot to be, you know, cheering on. So fair play.
This is very true. This is very true. Right. You know what? We'll go to our next caller. Familiar voice on the Nina Kaiser Show. It's great to have him back on. It's Kieran. Kieran, are you there?
Yes, Nina, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for joining.
No problem.
The floor is yours. Take it away. What would you like to say?
Not really. I just thought that a fella basically came and did a job on us. It was very frustrating, but I always knew this would have been a tough game. You know, this was always going to be one game where it was going to be very much a banana skin, and unfortunately it proved to be that way. And, well, what can you say? I think, you know, we just have to go now and we have to build for next season, because our season is, after today's result, our season is virtually over. So, you know, we just have to focus on getting players in, because, like you said before, you know, if we want to be back being a top four team again, we have to bring in a couple of players, because, you know, because top four next season is going to be very, very competitive.
Yeah, it's going to be very competitive. And I think, you know, the transfer window and moving quick in it is going to be absolutely crucial. But Kieran, thank you so much for your call.
Sorry, what's up?
Well, I think we've got some sound issues there, Kieran.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's fine now. That's fine now. We got to the point where you said it's going to be a big summer. So you can carry on from there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big summer. We need to bring in reinforcements. I think today served as a reality check that work needs to be done on the squad. Mm. You know, I think those previous ones only really peppered over the cracks to an extent. I think today was a bit of a wake-up call that there's more work needs to be done than what we think. So, you know, we just have to, hopefully we can get the right players on and we'll be a lot better next season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Kieran, thank you so much for calling.
My pleasure, thank you.
That was Kieran, and being optimistic and looking ahead whilst addressing the issues and the woes of this season, because it has not been great. Lisa, I'm going to come to you. Now, there was a lot of controversial refereeing, officiating decisions. So, shall we go with the penalty first? Konate?
That one didn't bother me so much. I mean, I think it probably was a penalty on Konate. I you know, that one was probably the one I had maybe the least issue with throughout the game. I think it was a penalty. I think, you know, it was just, I mean, I understand, or from what I saw, I mean, I think, you know, Konate was just trying to stop Watkins, fair enough. You know, it was in the box. You know, I think it was a penalty, and that's, you know, there may have been some gray area there, but again, considering that it's us, you know they were going to be given the penalty all day, and I can see that it was, you know, it was a fair call probably. So, and thank God Ollie Watkins missed it.
Indeed. And Maud, do you have a response to that? And then what is your next follow up for your referee blunder of the day? Might as well just address them all at once.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It was pretty clear cut as a pen. I mean, that's the type of challenge 9 times out of 10 we see Konate make and time it, you know, just perfectly right. But on this occasion, the timing was very slightly off. And obviously that resulted in him not connecting with the ball, connecting with the player. So it was an easy decision for the referee to make. And, you know, it's one of the few decisions that he got right. So, you know, no kind of arguments there. But in terms of the blunders, you know, where do we begin? Just a catalogue of them. I mean, I felt aggrieved about the penalty, not the penalty, about the disallowed goal that was ruled out for VAR. But to be fair to the referee, by the letter of the law, you know, the decision was correct, and it was VAR that suggested that goal be ruled out and overturned. But I still think it's a silly rule.
Yeah, you know what frustrated me about that, and I'm going to come to Lisa as well, is the simple fact that, okay, it was the first time ever in my memory, I don't have the best memory, that a referee's been called to look at an offside to view it as subjective. And I've not got no issues with VAR. Like, for me, it was almost like the people in the control room checking the play out, not wanting to make a decision, putting it on the referee. Like, that's what it felt like to me. Like, you should be there and you should just make a straight call. It's off, it's not off. Why does the referee need to go? Why does he need to have a look at that? And why does he have to then make the decision? It just felt really mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I agree. Now,
yeah, I mean, oh, sorry, Liz Maria.
We were probably going to say about the same thing anyway. I mean, I agree. You're right. I don't really remember a referee going over, you know, to the monitor on an offside call for a goal like that before. So I think you're right. I think VAR just didn't, you know, whoever was, you know, on that today, that maybe they just didn't want that responsibility. I don't know. But that's your responsibility. You need to be able to back up, not that they ever have to, their decisions. And at first, I mean, I had to watch it back, and luckily they played it back multiple times for me to kind of understand where the offside came from. And, you know, once I saw it, I mean, I think, yeah, it probably was offside. And I'll be honest, I'm not always – offside sometimes confuses me a little bit, especially when it's like the build-up play stuff. So, yeah.
And they can change the rules as well, and so you have that to deal with as well.
Like, about the time I feel like I'm understanding it, they shift the rules a little bit. So, yeah. But
you on your toes, Lisa.
But once they started, you know, once they said, "Oh, it's going to a VAR check," I thought, "Oh, that's it. They're calling it back. We're not going to get that goal. We're not going to get that goal." I mean, if we had been awarded that goal, I would have been very, very surprised and possibly gone out and bought a lottery ticket later this afternoon.
I will say one thing about that whole phase of it. You know, the goal was really, really scrappy because it kind of came off the line from Konate and then Gakpo scored. But I'm going to give a special prop to Curtis Jones there for keeping that ball alive, you know, and it's, you know, kept trying to whip it in, kept trying to make something happen. He had this first a play where he was like pressing and he was taking players on and he was showing good hold up play, and he showed me like just little moments of brilliance and kind of willingness to kind of make something happen, because, you know, it was a really, really flat game. So I am going to give him props in that little moment. But I'm going to come to you, and what did you make of the Mings yellow and obviously refusing to overturn it for a red? I said that was a red. And somebody messaged me on Twitter and said, "Did you think Jota's was a red against Spurs?" My response to that was, well, Skip shouldn't have been on that pitch for Jota to do that in the first place, because Skip had some right nasty challenges in that game. So there you go. We're seeing a continuous trend of bad refereeing decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those where, you know, the foot is very high, and the only reason I could tell that Mings got away with it is because he connected with the ball first and then the player. So had he missed the ball and then straight into the player, I think that is a very clear-cut red. So that I think is the only reason that that decision was made. So again, by the letter of the law, the decision was the correct one, though clearly the studs went right into the player. And, you know, the famous kind of similar incident we all remember is when Mane connected with the side of Edison's head at the Etihad a few years ago. And, you know, he was sent off straight red. And, you know, this was obviously not a connection with the head, but it was still with the torso. And we didn't see it, but it apparently left marks on his torso, you know, with the stud. So, yeah, dangerous, dangerous challenge. So I think he was still, despite the fact he connected with the ball, you know, not in control, and I still think it perhaps should have been a red. So I get why he wasn't given a red.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nina, you're on mute.
I am on mute. Yes, I am. You know what? Let's keep it on brand and let's keep it on trend and let's finish this show how I started with epic cock-ups. I will repeat what I said on mute. I just said another thing that amazes me about Tyrone Mings is the fact that he can play a game of football, a competitive sport, whilst chewing gum. That amazes me.
He's a wonder.
Like, how did he not swallow the cock-up?
Yeah, that's... You know, it's funny you say that because I did notice that toward the end of the match, there was a shot of him and he was chewing gum. I was like, wow, he's chewing gum. And yeah, sure.
Analysis, people, analysis.
That's what we all are here for. I know that these types of insights. No, I had written in my notes, that is a red all day. So, and I mean, possibly my red tinted glasses were on or are Liverpool, but I think it was. I guess I can see the gray area. But yeah. If it had been the other way around, it's just, and I am just fully buying into the bias today. But had it been the other way around, I think it would have been awarded against, you know, whichever our players had done that. So
I think you're right. I think you're spot on, given the fact that everything was literally going their way. Is there any other ones that kind of wound you up, Lisa or Mo? Or should we just move on to their goal?
It was just 90 minutes of them winding us up, almost as if they wanted to make up for their friend, Tierney, and think, right, okay, any decision that's 50-50, let's give it in the way of the opposition, because we don't like Jürgen, because he upset our mate Paul. So, you know, it felt a bit like that today.
Read somewhere, I can't think which journalist tweeted it, the name escapes me, that said that he was the fourth official when Klopp celebrated in the official's face, but you know, when that whole tyranny thing happened and he was the fourth official. Now, if that is the case, then that is really, really bad by the FA to have him in charge of a Liverpool game.
That's surprising.
There's, you know, that stinks, and that's like, well, okay, so now you can't, they can do whatever they want and you can't question them. If you do, you get banned. I don't understand then who's holding them accountable. I don't know. It just, to me, it reeks of corruption. It sounds so mobbified and so corrupt. I have no words for it. It was just a whole load of time wasting. I'm going to come to you, Lisa. I mean, so they score a goal. I mean, they miss a penalty. Of course, you know, Watkins misses. Kicks a ball like a vegetarian. And I can say that because I'm a vegetarian. Bad penalty. Just going to put it out there. You know, puts it wide. It enforces a save out of Ali. And then they score. And it really, just a whip of, you know, back post. Their guy goes unchecked. Trent was more close to Konate, in my opinion, than watching what was behind him. And they score a routine goal. And you know what? I have to say, given how where the game was going at that moment, it was coming.
Absolutely. In fact, I had written that down. I said it was coming. Because just before they scored, I was thinking, wow, we've been on this half of the pitch quite a bit here the last few minutes. We have a really cross the center line, if you will, you know, for us to be, you know, on the offensive, pushing toward their goal. And I thought they're going to score. And I hope I wasn't responsible for, you know, pushing the universe that way, but I don't think I was. I think people on the field could probably take a lot more responsibility than myself. Yeah, it was certainly coming. I mean, and credit to them. It was a well-worked goal. It wasn't some sort of fluke goal, you know. It was well set up, I very much abhor jumping on the Trent is a horrible defender bandwagon, and that's not what this is, but you're right. His positioning or his awareness of who is behind him, you know, just wasn't right 100% at the moment. And, you know, but that's not to say that even if he had done a little better, if that one hadn't gone in, I think one shortly thereafter would have, because it was just coming in the way they were playing. They had control of the match in that period of play.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, what did you make of the goal that we conceded at 27 minutes? Jacob Ramsey with the opener, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, it felt like a goal was imminent because, you know, they started to apply some pressure and they were starting to open us up. And, you know, it's a very well-crafted goal as well. Really good finish. Wasn't a big fan of Ramsey celebrating the way he did, you know, shushing the cop and cupping his ears. I thought that was a bit uncalled for. I didn't pick up them, you know, the cop booing him or any, you know, I didn't pick up any of that. So that seemed a bit of an odd response, unless he's maybe a United fan and he just got a bit carried away, you know, scoring in front of the cop. But yeah, the goal itself was very, very good. And, you know, it was, you know, slightly disappointing in terms of the defending from Trent. You know, he should have been a bit closer. But, you know, it was one of them things where, you know, we were lucky that, you know, we didn't concede just a few minutes prior with the penalty. It was a pretty poor attempt by Watkins. So, you know, and that was obviously off of a foul that, as we talked about earlier, was a clear-cut pen. So, you know, they perhaps at that point in time, you know, did deserve a lead.
They certainly did. I mean, Mo, I'm going to stick with you because there's a lot of things that were really like kind of jarring me, and I felt like it was a systematic issue, in, you know, with Liverpool today. And yeah, I think they've had it quite rough because playing Aston Villa, who are chasing a place in Europe, you know, it is what it is. You know, you've got Man United playing Bournemouth, who are pretty much at the beach at the moment. You know, so Liverpool had to be on the A game, and they obviously didn't quite do that today. I think that's fair to say. But there was little things like, you know, Fabinho like committing a lot of fouls, and you know, you can get frustrated at him, but I think he was having to do all this because, again, the midfield wasn't operating great.
You're right. I mean, look, you know, Curtis, as we talked about earlier, has generally been very good last several weeks, but you know, today, you know, he had one or two decent moments, but otherwise, one of his more lackluster performances of the season. And you know, that sometimes that can happen, especially with a younger player. But the other guy, number 14, you know, unfortunately, it's a consistent thing. Now, you know, this is a player who, Nina, I first did the very first podcast I ever did with you was way back in 2015. And even on that podcast, I was still criticizing Jordan Henderson. So I don't want to change a habit of a lifetime. I'm just going to say in a positive way, though, because, you know, I talked about, you know, we need to be a bit positive. So, look, Jordan Henderson, he is what he is. You know, he has his many limitations. And, you know, he's turning 33 in a couple of weeks. And, you know, his best days are clearly behind him. But I think that what today, if nothing else, should have demonstrated to Jürgen, who is sat in a great position in the stands, in the main stand, is to see how his captain was so ineffective in the middle of the park at providing that control, providing that balance, but also completely lacking any form of genuine attacking quality. That I think the positive out of all of this is that he, seeing it from that vantage point, should really demonstrate to him the need to get somebody in to replace him as a regular starter. I mean, I personally would like love to see him move on. As great a servant as he has been for the club over the last 12 years, you know, I think that, you know, that the squad would be better without him. But I think realistically, we all know Jürgen loves Jordan Henderson, so he will be around next season. But I think what should have come out of today, and hopefully it's come out over the course of the season, but if not, then certainly from today, Jürgen seeing firsthand how the midfield really could do with somebody who offers a little bit more defensively, in terms of control, in terms of attacking qualities as well. I think that that player, Jordan Henderson, can be easily upgraded. So I think that this summer we will finally see that happen. So that is what I'm positive about, that Jordan Henderson is likely to be relegated to being a squad player and perhaps taking on that James Milner role in 23-24.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are like rumours, I'm reading them on social media right now on Twitter, that Ian McAllister looks like a done deal, or it's edging closer, according to an Argentinian source. So we'll see. Basically, all I know is we need to move fast and we need to address the midfield. Lisa, I'm going to come to you because, you know, whilst I think it was JC Tyrone who spoke about the attack there, saying that they looked really disjointed, didn't get much help from the midfield today, let's be honest.
No, that is nothing. Exactly. And I mean, we talked about this, you know, earlier in the season. I don't know if I talked about it on one of your pods or
that was poor as well, you know,
somewhere else. But yeah, I mean, you can't expect the attack to perform well if they're not being fed properly by the midfield. You know, if that connection, from one set of players to the other set of players is not there, then it just makes their job all that much harder. And so, yeah, I mean, the midfield wasn't clicking today. And so it's no surprise that the attack, you know, wasn't connecting. And, you know, I mean, honestly, how much did Mo Salah touch the ball in the first half? It felt like not hardly at all. For whatever reason. And so it's not a surprise. To echo what Mo was saying just a minute ago is Curtis, he has played very well the last few games. You know, it felt like he did grow into the game a little bit as it went on, you know, again, before he was subbed, but it just, you know, I mean, and that's going to happen. I mean, I feel like I'm always the one going, well, let's be fair. You know, not every player is going to have a phenomenal game every single time. So, you know, it's unfortunate that it seemed like everybody was having that day today all at once.
Yeah, not ideal. And Mo, I'm going to come to you because obviously that was the first half pretty much. There was some injury time added and I felt like Liverpool, you know, it was quite alarming. Again, I think that, you know, it speaks for themselves. There wasn't even a shot on target. You know, we didn't even work Martinez in the first half at all, period, and nothing. So we tried to do something, but the final third, I just felt like we were just lacking ideas. Let's move on to the second half. And it felt like, yeah, Liverpool maybe have started off a little bit brighter. Maybe they were attacking the cop. I don't know. Maybe they got a rocket up their backsides from Linders, because I think Klopp could do it. So there we are. We're doing all this. I just felt like it just wasn't quite clicking in the final third. It just felt like we looked out of ideas. We looked very slow. The ball kept being passed backwards as well. And I think that was largely down to how the way Villa was set up with their defensive line and the discipline. But it was really, really frustrating to watch. And of course, Klopp then has to make, Klopp, I'm so used to saying his name, a triple sub. The first sub was made. And I was really shocked that Jones was the first midfielder to get hooked for Jota.
Yeah. I mean, I expected Henderson to go first. I thought that, you know, though Curtis obviously didn't have his strongest day today, I still felt he was offering more and certainly, was working harder than Henderson. I mean, Henderson at times. And again, I don't want to be overly negative on a positive podcast, but you know, at times he was running around like a player that was playing in, you know, the LFC Foundation March friendly test, you know, the Legends game. You know, he was moving at a half pace almost. And maybe that's because, you know, his legs have gone so much that, you know, that's all he can manage. But look, it was one of them things where, you know, at that phase of the second half, we saw, you know, a little bit more impetus. We saw a little bit more intent. I think you're right. There was a bit of a rocket given at half time, which meant that, you know, we tried to react. And, you know, it was also, I think, credit to Aston Villa again, because, you know, they maintained a relatively high line, but it was very close to the midfield. So there were very few gaps. You know, we weren't able to kind of get into those little pockets of space and, you know, perhaps see a Trent or a Robbo kind of venture into those and create a little bit for the forward line. And obviously we get very little creativity from a Henderson. And, you know, Fabinho obviously had a lot to cover defensively.
And Trent wasn't on it today as well. So, again, you've just missed out a big creative thing.
And even with our crosses, pretty much the whole game, just so poor. Nearly every cross that was whipped in was taken comfortably by Martinez. And, you know, very few that actually found Liverpool players. So, you know, even in terms of passing and crossing in that third, it just wasn't there today. And, you know, that was frustrating, and it was a bit of a shame because, you know, I felt, you know, had we gone on and secured a win today, though obviously Man United also won today, it would have maintained the pressure. And, you know, they've got a couple of tricky-ish games coming up, and Newcastle certainly have a couple of tricky games coming up. So, you know, I just would have liked to see us maintain that pressure, and you never know what could have happened in the last week of the season.
This is it, and it's quite sad. And Lisa, I'm going to come to you because I felt like in the second half, like the way Aston Villa were kind of set up, the shots we were taking were like fourth, they were quick, they were also long range as well. We just weren't working the ball. We didn't have the space. Our attackers didn't have room to manoeuvre and create space or create chances for themselves. Felt like everything just felt like it was like kind of like a shot from wide and hoping and wishing rather than something well executed.
Yeah, you know, if the first half was frustrating, this half didn't start out much. The second half didn't start out much better. I mean, I thought we started with pretty decent energy, but it flagged very quickly. You know, I mean, it was probably just about the time the subs were being made. Well, probably about the time that Jota came on for Curtis Jones, that I was like, man, we have got to do something. I mean, there's a lot of match left to play, and, you know, we can still do something here, but we've got to be, you know, someone needs to do something, you know, rally the troops, let's go. And so I think that was a bit disheartening to me, because I really wouldn't have expected that, you know, last home game at Anfield and everything else. So it was, but you're right. It was, you know, hope and pray that, you know, a shot comes off or something, but it just didn't feel organized into anything that was going to produce what we needed to happen to be able to turn the tide.
And speaking of the subs, so Lisa, I keep saying Klopp. I need to shut up.
Calling the shots up there. Give me a
yeah, he was. Yeah. This is true. And I was just like, we need some energy. And I know this player's leaving. I know he's leaving. But he brings on James Milner for Henderson. Okay, fine. You don't have many midfield options. Okay, I'll give you a free pass. Plus, I'm not going to hurt. I'm on a total trash because he is leaving. Bobby comes on and Tsimikas for Robbo. So the subs are made. And, you know, talk to me about that. What did you feel about the subs? And, yeah, just let your mind go wherever it wants to. And then you can have the
show
after that.
That's dangerous direction, I'm possibly. Cool. Yeah, You know, I almost wish the subs had been made just a little bit earlier, only from what I was just saying is something needed to change. You know, I didn't really care what at that point in time, but obviously what was currently on the field was not doing it. You know, there needed to be something. And I really, you know, I was just hoping Bobby coming on would bring that energy, you know, not just to the players on the pitch, but to the, you know, to the fans watching it. You know, I mentioned it earlier that it felt like it fell a little flat in the first half. And I was feeling that, you know, just across the board in the second half, not just from the players, but from those who were watching as well. You know, you weren't hearing, you know, the Bobby Firmino song singing out, you know, from the stands or anything at all, really, or at least I couldn't hear it on the coverage I was watching or not very much anyway. So my thought was, okay, at least, you know, these changes, you know, might inject the energy that we're needing. And, you know, I think, you know, Samikas on for Robertson, fresh legs on that side, you know, because obviously, you know, Matty Cash and, you know, John McGinn, they were, you know, they were running up and down quite a bit. So I think that was a good change, just to give that additional, you know, boost of fresh legs on that side. And of course, you know, I mean, we knew obviously Firmino was going to come on and I knew Milner was going to come on. And honestly, Milner for Henderson, I mean, that's basically like for like, so no, it, if no add, no takeaway, I think it was just, you know, and that was fine. Cause you're right. I'm not going to slag off James Milner on his, you know, his last home match for Liverpool, but I felt like it helped, not as much as I would have liked for it to have helped, but it did help. And you did feel that there was some, you know, harder trying going on, you know, and honestly, Martinez, my son came in about this time and was laughing at me because at this point I had gotten up and started pacing, which is something I used to do all the time. And I kind of quit doing it, but it worked the last time. So I thought, hey, let's go. And, hey, we did score after I started pacing. So just saying. And I was just, I kept yelling at him every time, you know, with the time wasting. And when he finally got the yellow for it, I was like, finally, it's about time. And if nothing else, I should probably call Rory in here because he could probably give quite the amusing report on my response watching the last 20 or so minutes.
You should do a watch along, but well, we wouldn't see you in camera because you'd just go off pacing somewhere. So you'd just be staring at me.
I would if I were downstairs in the living room, but yeah.
Do little laps. I love it. Yeah, we want to watch along with Lisa Marie there, called it first. I'm going to come to you more. I mean, we spoke about Fabinho, and obviously he was very involved in the game. He committed a lot of fouls. He got a yellow on 80 minutes. At 81 minutes, he gets subbed for Elliot. Jurgen Klopp, Jurgen Klopp making the calls, as Lisa corrects me, and rightly so.
My fourth son, Harvey Elliott.
Comes on, her son. And, Yeah, I mean, what did you make of all the subs collectively? At that point, I was like, I don't see a goal. I was still scratching my head; like it just felt like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame that, you know, Nunes has hurt his toe at the wrong time, because I felt that against this high line, he perhaps could have had a greater impact.
Yeah.
You know, running in behind, and you know, increasingly we were trying to get that ball over, you know, the Villa defensive line, and you know, other than Mo, we didn't really have that searing pace to kind of get in and behind, and you know, really get one on one with Martinez. So it was a shame that he was unfortunately out. But yeah, I mean, there were the very, very obvious subs. I mean, Firmino and Milner were very obviously going to come on no matter what the game state was. And I think also Jota was a clear, you know, player that had to come on given the fact, you know, we were, you know, trying to get back into the game. But, you know, I was just a bit surprised that Jordan Henderson lasted as long as he did, you know, just ineffective throughout. You know, he's had many, many very poor games this season, but, you know, he just added so little. And it was since, you know, it really highlighted just how out of his depth he now is as a top-level player, that Douglas Luiz, in a similar role for Villa, was the complete opposite. He was so good, you know, in terms of all aspects of a midfield performance. He was really good throughout, and I was so impressed by him. And, you know, that's the kind of player who, you know, we would have benefited from had that player been on the park today. Instead, you know, we had Henderson, who didn't add very much to attack, didn't support much in terms of the defensive play. When we needed that control, there was just nothing really there from him. So he was just a passenger, just chasing shadows. And unfortunately, that's been Jordan Henderson, not only throughout this season, you know, two or three games where he has genuinely been very good. But, you know, for the most part, he really has looked like he's no longer at the level of, never mind Liverpool Football Club, even I'd argue Premier League. I mean, he's really, really struggling these days. And it's somewhat sad to see because, you know, at his peak, you know, yeah, I mean, he's technically never been the greatest player, but he had this energy and, you know, that made up for a lot. And, you know, that player is long gone. But, you know, look, there was still aspects of the substitutions that didn't really add a great deal. But, you know, we were somewhat limited. And I suppose what was frustrating is that, you know, it's not as if we've got many players out injured at the moment. I mean, you know, Nunes and Thiago were the only really prominent ones out. And I think we've only got five out in total. And even then, it felt like we had a lack of depth and real quality to make a difference. So again, it just added that greater amount of evidence today that, look, we really need to get some business done and a number of incomings because, you know, we need to address things. And again, going back to the theme of positivity, I was enthused by Klopp's comments yesterday to say that other than the goalkeeping department, we're actually looking in terms of recruitment at all departments, at midfield, obviously, defence. And I think the fact that he didn't rule out looking at attack means I think he's potentially looking at potentially another forward as well.
Nice. You'll be busy on the transfer pod then, won't you?
Exactly.
Managing Klopp's budget. Yeah, watch this space. Well, you know what? For me, I'm all about your actions have got to speak louder than your words. But however, the fact that he's saying that my squad is... I'm just glad he's over that phase of saying my squad is perfect and I don't need anything, because literally that used to just grate on me like nothing. Like I just could not get over his ignorance and his arrogance. So yeah, I'm glad now he's kind of realised, and hopefully the bird's eye view of what he was watching might have given him clear indication as to what needs to be done and what kind of players he needs and how he moves things on. I'm going to stick with you, Mo. 89 minutes, Bobby Firmino scores. Mo Salah assists. It is the most Bobby Firmino goal. It had to be him. I needed something to smile about today, and he certainly gave it us. You know, it was almost like a fly kick situation again. It's exactly how Bobby goes out.
Yeah, classic Firmino goal. And, you know, it was almost written in the stars that, you know, he would score today. It was just a shame, really, that it wasn't a winner, you know, on another day. You know, had it been 1-1 instead of 1-0, you know, at that late stage, you know, closing in on the 90th minute, Firmino scoring, you know, a final winner at Anfield for Liverpool would have just been the perfect ending for his time at Anfield. But wasn't to be. It was still a great goal. Still got the crowd rocking. You know, those final 10 minutes of extra time, the crowd was as amped as they'd been all day. So, you know, it certainly gave a nice climax to the game. Just a shame that, you know, we didn't manage to conjure up a winner from somewhere. But, yeah, that was genuinely one of the great moments. And, you know, I'm one of these fans that's a little bit less connected to our players. So when I think a player is ready to move on, no matter how great they've been for the club, you know, I'll be one of the first ones to say, look, let's move them on. And I'd been calling for Bobby to go for probably about 2 years now. I felt that he was on the wane and I wanted to see him see out his best years. His twilight years, I should say, at another club. And obviously that will happen after this season ends next week. But at the same time, you know, I still felt emotional seeing him score. And, you know, a tear almost came to my eye when that happened. Because, look, you know, he's been one of our absolute legends without any question. He's given us some of the greatest moments we've had as Liverpool fans of our lifetimes. And, you know, he has this charisma as well. It's not just his performances. He's got this great charisma about him, this great presence. He's got that unique character to him. You know, he's a one-off and, you know, he'll be massively missed.
He really will. He really will. For me, he was just the whole change when Jurgen Klopp came in. When Jurgen Klopp came in, decided that he's not going to play him out wide, he's going to play him as a false nine. The first thing he did was fix his position because Brenda did not know what he was doing with him. And under Brendan Rodgers, he was like labelled as a flop or a bad signing. And this was a guy that I wanted from Hoffenheim. It was my dream. And he came to Liverpool and Brendan was using him all wrong. And, you know, just to see him grow and flourish under Jurgen Klopp and seeing him win all them things, probably things that he probably wouldn't have won at Hoffenheim. Like, it just gives me the biggest smile, the fact that, you know, a player that I actually wanted ended up at Liverpool, because these things never used to happen under Ian Ayrton things. So, and the fact that he leaves a legend as well. Lisa, I'm going to come to you. You were emotional. Everyone was. I kind of buried my emotions with, like, Mo spoke there. And he's right, you know, you can't get too attached to players. They get old. You have to move them on. It makes complete sense. Like, I think it was more the fact that I had the nostalgia kicks in terms of what these players or what this player gave to the club and the fond memories. And I was kind of suppressing my emotions about it. And today I really felt it. This morning, as I thought, gosh, Bobby Firmino last game.
I mean, I legit teared up when he scored that goal. I mean, it was, as we've all been saying, it was written in the stars. It was, you know, it was like a movie script, if you will. I mean, only thing that could have made it better is if it had been a game winner as opposed to tying it up, but that's okay. You know, it's funny, as everyone on Anfield Index is aware, I'm a more recent fan than most to Liverpool, and so I don't have necessarily the same history of watching players grow and develop. So, you know, Bobby Firmino, of course, was already part of the team, you know, when I started following closely and watching. And I regret the fact that by the time I truly understood what he meant to the way we played, he was starting to decline a little bit. One day when I'm looking for something to do with my time, which ought to be about 2035, I want to go back and watch, you know, rewatch some of the matches from when I was first starting to follow, because, you know, I just didn't know enough to necessarily understand, the importance that he played in how the team played. And so it's just a little bit of a personal regret for me. But I've just always, you know, to me, he was the guy with the great smile initially. You know, when I first started following, it was like, oh my gosh, look at those teeth. So I just always appreciated and enjoyed what, you know, just that good humor and that just, you know, and I mean, all of the players to a certain degree, we see the joy that they have in playing this game. But there was just something about Bobby that was just extra. To that, you know, you just, and I guess it's the smile and the grin, but, so I think, you know, and we've of course seen less of him the last couple seasons for various reasons. And like Mo, I mean, I think while I'm sad to see him leaving, I think it's the right thing for him and for the team. And, I wish him well wherever he goes, because he just strikes me as such a special, not just such a special person or player, but a special person as well. You know, I think he, You know, and I just hope that that joy that he has brought to the squad does not leave with him. Does that make sense?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked, and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
It absolutely makes sense. It really does. And I don't know, yeah. This kind of ended for me last season, but like just him celebrating with Sadio Mane when like you take the mick at Sadio Mane because Sadio Mane couldn't fly kick and stuff. It was just really cute. It was really wholesome. The attack was really wholesome. But it's you know, players get old, you have to move them on, and you know, let's be excited about the future and what that holds. But it's nice to know that under Jurgen Klopp he won some good things and you know, won some big things. So you know what, you go out a legend, song. Roberta Firmino, you know, we love you.
I've talked about this before.
Yeah,
that song will be lodged in my head. I mean, I can hear always, it just maybe always. Once or twice, and I'm it's that, you know, it's stuck in my head for a couple days afterwards, and it has been stuck in my head for about 2 weeks now. I mean, more often than not, and I'm okay with that. But yeah, you just, you know, that song can never go away. Even if, you know, even if he does leave the club, yeah, we have got to keep that song because it just represents, I think it just represents the special player that he is more than anything else.
Yeah, I'm sure it's made the Cop Classic playlist. They always sing about legends, and I think Bobby's song is just so catchy. Right, guys, last 10 minutes of injury time, Mo. Perfect, but that scoreboard went up because Mo just scored. I mean, Firmino just scored. So you're thinking, yes, yes, yes. And that was the only time in those 10 minutes where I felt like Liverpool actually decided to show up for the game. Like there was something to play for. There was a lot of intensity. There was a lot going on. I think Kostas had loads of, you know, corner after corner, but just to no avail.
Yeah, yeah, it was disappointing that, you know, we had all that extra time and didn't really muster a big, big opportunity, a big chance as such. You know, just wish, you know, it would have happened, you know, just kept that pressure going, racking up an eighth win on the trot in the Premier League. Wasn't to be, but you know, nonetheless, it was good that, you know, we kept on persisting and trying and certainly finished the game the stronger team. So you know, that was encouraging, but at the same time, you know, there were various lessons learned that, you know, look, despite the 7 wins on the bounce, you know, there is still work to be done in terms of addressing deficiencies in the squad. So that's why, again, I was glad that, you know, Klopp said that the recent form of the team doesn't really change anything in terms of plans for recruitment over the summer. So that was good. But look, you know, just a little shout out to another legend of the club, James Milner.
Yeah.
You know, he came on as a sub, same time as Bobby, and you know, in those last 10 minutes, you know, he was grafting and grafting. And, you know, he's a player again who, you know,
gives it his all.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and he right down to the last minute, you know, he was trying and working and putting his all into it, and the consummate professional. And, you know, he's another player that I've been keen to see moved on. And, you know, even though Jürgen disagrees, you know, by all accounts, Jürgen was keen to retain him for another season. But I think the player himself felt, look, you know, I'd rather play a bit more at another club than be even more of a bit part player at Liverpool next season. And I don't want to be staying at a club just to be a dressing room presence. I still feel I can add a little bit more on the pitch, which is, you know, kudos to him. But, you know, he's another one also that has been a really good servant for Liverpool Football Club. You know, last 2-3 years, you know, he's clearly been on the wane. But at times he was a very important player for us. And, you know, when it came to penalties, you know, there's no player you'd rather want, you know, taking a penalty for us than Jamie Milner. He was ice cool when it was, you know, came time to taking a pen. And, you know, also that dressing room leadership as well, in that creating that camaraderie and that kind of team spirit and putting the team first. You know, he was a real enforcer in that regard. So, you know, I think in that respect, you know, he'll be a loss. But hopefully where, you know, that void is created, somebody will step up. And, you know, that dressing room still will have leaders. You know, it will still have people that will be a big presence and make sure that, you know, all players are maintaining that team ethos and not making it about themselves. But, you know, he will move on to, in all likelihood, Brighton. And, you know, he will also leave as a great one for Liverpool Football Club. And again, in many ways, he will be missed as well. And his definitely will be missed.
Yep, he will definitely be missed. And it's good that he's moving on as well, because I feel like he was a safety crutch for Jurgen Klopp. And I'm glad that's gone. And I only think now that Henderson can't be a James Milner, because I felt like James Milner offered more in different positions than what Henderson does. So, you know, he was a complete sort of the utility guy for Jurgen Klopp, if you will. I'm going to come to you, Lisa. Your thoughts about the final 10, and if you've got anything to say about James Milner, let me close the pod off.
I thought, how perfect would it be that all of the Villa time wasting has resulted in this extra time, and God, if we could score that winning goal. I mean, it would have been justice, but it wasn't to be. And I mean, it wasn't for lack of effort, although it wasn't necessarily good effort, but it was effort, and I'll take any sort of effort any day of the week. So, I know it's been, but a match that I've ever watched, I don't know that I've ever seen 10 minutes added on. So that was a new thing for me. It felt like a little bit of justice that unfortunately didn't really pay off. James Milner, I love James Milner. I've said that many a time. And I think it is, you know, absolutely agree. It is certainly time for him to move on and play or whatever somewhere else. But he has been. He's been a great utility player, you know, for Klopp. And I think, Nina, what you just said is about that, you know, he's been a bit of a crutch for Klopp to use, you know, at times where perhaps there are other players that should have been given that opportunity. And so, you know, his leaving may open up some additional opportunities, you know, for some other players. So that is potentially a good thing for us. But I've always appreciated the fact that, you know, even though he wasn't necessarily the player that you might want coming on, you knew that he was going to give 100%. And he was, you know, he was going to do what he could do. He's always amused me, just any of those behind the scenes videos or whatever. Just, he just seems to have a really great, just, personality and humor behind him that seems completely different off the pitch as on the pitch. And I love that. So wish him, you know, as much the best as I wish Bobby Firmino. And I will say that I will kind of miss, you know, every now and again, seeing James Milner come in and, you know, kick somebody in the air when you've wanted to see that. So that will be missed by me.
I'm by many of us. It was always routine. You would expect it, right?
I don't know.
I'm going to get your man of the match out. So, Lisa, I'll come to you first. Who's your man of the match?
I mean, I was going to say, I feel like I have to give it to Bobby Firmino. He got the goal. It's his last.
I'm just going to give it to Bobby Firmino because it's his last game.
Or last home match, anyway. He might play next week. But yeah, I think just for sentimental reasons, if nothing else, Bobby Firmino. He did, and Alisson, of course.
Yeah, completely. You know, that is exactly it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought Virgil van Dijk had a very good game today.
I need to agree with you on the sentimental go with Bobby.
Yeah, I've got to keep it on brand, because she always said when I used to do these post-match shows, she's just going to give it to Bobby Firmino because I had an agenda. So, yeah, I'm sticking on brand. Mo, I'll come to you. I mean, who was your man of the match shout today?
Well, I really liked, Firmino's performance today. You know, yeah, I mean, there were a fair few niggly fouls and whatnot, and, that was all good. And I think it was needed at times.
Yes.
And his telescopic legs had to be brought into play a few times as well. But I'll make it a unanimous call. So I'll stick with Bobby Firmino, just like the two of you. The all-important goal and, certainly got the crowd going when he came on. So, we've got to give it to Bobby, haven't we?
We do. I like that. And I can imagine him just giving us the biggest smile ever with his, beautiful, sparkling white teeth. Right, guys, we have come to the end of the Nina Kauser show. Before I go, I'm trying to get some plugs from both Mo and Lisa. Mo, where can people find you on social media? And is there anything you're going to be working on in the summer? She rubs her hands.
At Mo Chakra on Twitter is the best place to find me on social media. Mm-hmm. And you touched upon it earlier. So I've got the transfer committee coming up very, very soon with Gags, Dan Kennett and Mr. Dave Hendrick. And I'm sure I'll be coming out with some more Money Talks podcasts as well. So looking forward to those. But before I do finish, Nina, I just have to say, you've been absolutely amazing on Anfield Index. You've been, one of the absolute stars of this whole channel, over the last few years. You've lit it up with your presence and, your humour and your mispronunciation of names and all the other stuff as well. So, you're going to be, very, very sorely missed on the channel. Obviously, you'll still be there in the background, but in terms of being able to be heard on podcasts, obviously it's going to be a massive void for AI. But like we've talked about Liverpool legends, well, you've been an Anfield Index legend, and I just want to say thank you so much as an AI colleague over the last few years for all that you've done. And all the support you've given as well. And nobody has ever given me introductions like you have when I've come on this podcast as well. So thank you.
Got a thing for wrestling, so I need to up my game. I know how those people intro those wrestlers. This is it. No, honest to God, it's been an absolute honour working with. I've met some great people. I love having you on the pods. And I'm still part of AI, just working back of house. And I'm just, figuring myself out a little. I think sometimes you just kind of hit this stage where you, I don't know, call it burnout, maybe you just need to, a little time out, and it'll do me a world of good. And it'd be good to focus on other people. There's so many great voices on AI, honest to God. Like, I'm actually really excited about just dealing with all the content. I'm really excited about that. And Lisa, I'm going to come to you. Where can people find you on social media? And what will you be working on?
I will continue to be on the main AI pod, when our schedules permit. No, we would have done this week. It's just Trev had the opportunity to go over to Liverpool to attend the match this week, and I'm very, very happy, if not a little jealous, for him. I echo everything Mo said, Nina. Your voice on Anfield Index was one of the reasons when Trev Downey approached me about first appearing on the main AI pod was one of the people that gave me the courage to do it. I think I've spoken in, I don't know if necessarily on this podcast, but in the past that, you know, I was a little intimidated to first get involved, you know, to add my voice, even just on, you know, the chats on Discord, you know, as a woman, as an American. And I've never had anything, you know, never been anything but welcomed by anybody. I do want to say that. But knowing that you had done these things, it was one of the things that gave me that little bit of extra nudge, you know, to step forward when Trev invited me and to do it. And so I am personally thankful to you, you know, for that. I've always enjoyed being on these podcasts with you, and I'm going to miss it. So yeah, I know you're behind the scenes, and I know we'll stay in touch, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you so much. And Lisa, I'm not bringing, you know, the gender into it that we're both women, but I've really, really enjoyed pulling at your heartstrings and the emotion side of things and getting you on this podcast. I think I really need a guest. Can you please come on? And you always oblige. It's been great. Honest to God, you know what? You have just been a wonderful, wonderful contributor on AI. I just say that, and everyone on AI and all the people on Discord are, you know, don't discriminate against anyone, and we see past everything. And I think that is like the perfect combination. You know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, and I love hearing your perspective. I love your positivity, and we're definitely everyone's going to keep in touch, and I'll be more on Discord now as well. So, you know, I'm still around. I'll still be doing things, and I'll be more on social media. But guys, thank you so much for listening. I've really enjoyed this podcast, and thank you to our callers. You've been incredible. Thank you to everyone that joined us live. Till next time. It's the last time I'm going to say this. Till next time, take care. Till next time, take care, and up the Reds.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.